Country Show. The thunder that you were hearing in the background there, it was coming from your speakers, not necessarily the skies at the moment, but let's give you a weather report here because it certainly is cold, wet, and wetter out there. Tonight, looking at the forecast here, we're looking at rain, low around 48, winds out of the southwest between 10 and 17, gusting as high as 26 miles an hour tonight. Chance of precip is 100%, so it's going to be a soggy evening. Now, tomorrow, showers likely mainly after 11 a.m., cloudy with a high near 60. Winds will be out of the southwest tomorrow between 11 and 16, gusting as high as 24, so very similar. Chance of precip tomorrow, though, is 60%. Thursday night, cloudy with low around 42, winds at the southwest between 3 and 8. Chance of precip Thursday night is 50%. Then Friday, chance of showers with a possible thunderstorm after 11 a.m., mostly cloudy with high near 59, so really cool temperatures here. Winds will be out of the west on Friday between 3 and 6. Chance of precip is 60%. Friday evening, a 50% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with low around 43. Then Saturday, things should start to clear out a little bit here, partly sunny with a high near 67. Saturday night, partly cloudy with low around 48. Sunday, 30% chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 73, mostly cloudy with low around 50. On Sunday night, we'll peak at Monday, 40% chance of showers as of now, mostly cloudy with high near 70. So all in all, we're looking at another 48 hours of rain and cooler temperatures. And then as we head into Saturday and Sunday, it looks like this front here may move out a bit, and then things might dry up and warm up as well. And so there you go. You never know what June's going to bring here on the Palouse. And certainly from a moisture perspective, particularly thinking with wildfire seasons approaching here, rain is important right now, and certainly at least here on the Wild Clearwater Country Show, we will take the rainy forecast for a couple days here. Caveat is that it will dry out maybe and be a little bit warmer over the weekend. So hey, on that note, certainly want to remind all of our listeners, and thank you for tuning in, that the views expressed on the Wild Clearwater Country Show are not necessarily those of KRFP Moscow, Friends of the Clearwater, or any other organization. Now, today's guest is going to be Dr. Catherine Fair Elston with the Ravensong Group. And we're going to spend the whole hour talking about the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's proposed delisting, national delisting of the gray wolf across the United States. So you're not going to want to miss this interview. We've had Catherine on the show numerous times over the years, and we're really looking forward to having her back on here. So we're just going to take a short music break, and then don't touch that dial. You're listening to the Wild Clearwater Country Show, KRFP Moscow.
So didn't anybody So didn't anybody hear you? Heart is full. So didn't anybody pray for you? Lean on me. It's what these hands are for.
That's right, and welcome back to the Wild Clearwater Country Show. Today's guest is archaeologist, author, and activist Dr. Catherine Fair Elston with the Raven Song Group. Dr. Catherine Fair Elston is the author of Raven Song, A Natural and Fabulous History of Ravens and Crows, and Wolf Song, a natural and Fabulous History of Wolves. Catherine, are you there, and how are you?
Well, I'm just great, and I'm just very, very thrilled to be back on the air with you and with everybody up there in God's country.
Well, Catherine, before you hopped on the air here, I certainly mentioned to everyone that how great it is to have you again here as a guest on the Wild Clearwater Country Show. Of course, we've had you on a couple times over the previous few years, and so it's been a while. So there's oodles and oodles of things that we can talk about, but I know, let's just jump right into the Assault of the Endangered Species Act. What exactly do things look like out there right now?
Well, first I just want to mention to everyone that this year we celebrate the 40th anniversary of the signing of the Endangered Species Act by Republican President Richard Nixon. And we have seen in the recovery of so many different species that it is an effective work, and it is applied, and it makes a big difference in biodiversity and stability of our planet. Now, that being said, I am very sad to report that there are interests manipulating Congress who are systematically and intentionally dismantling this very, very important law that Americans of every political persuasion supported 40 years ago. The first victims of the dismantling of the Endangered Species Act are our wolves. And this is the first time since the legislation of the act that due to manipulative interests of less than 1% of the American population, a species has been deliberately delisted, even though the species remains globally endangered. It's very important for people to remember, wolves are a globally endangered species. And just because President Obama and representatives and senators from certain interests who have been paid off by agricultural and ranching interests, just because they say, oh, no, no, they've recovered, scientifically, that is inaccurate. Wolves remain globally endangered, and they have not made a recovery in the lower 48. They have not.
Now, for those of you that are just joining us, today's guest on the Wild Clearwater Country Show is Dr. Catherine Fair Elson with the Ravensong Group. Specifically now, Catherine, if we may jump right into this proposal to delist the gray wolf across the entire United States. As we know, Secretary of Interior Ken Salazar is no longer in that seat. President Obama, in his second term, has appointed Sally Jewell as the Secretary of Interior, and all the hubbub, of course, over the past couple weeks, past month, has been this now forthcoming proposal to delist the wolf nationally. What have you been working on the past month with regard to this proposal?
Basically, I've been, we are opposed to delisting the wolf. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services wants the wolf delisted, claiming that the wolf is recovered, with the exception of the little Mexican wolves who are being, you know, destroyed systematically in the Southwest. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services claims that gray wolves are recovered. That is inaccurate. And a comment period started. We have a 90-day comment period on this recommendation, and it started a week ago tomorrow. So I encourage everyone to get your comments into Secretary Jewell. She is the one that will be the final determiner in terms of her colleagues there at the Fish and Wildlife Service. And science does not bear out the allegation that wolves are recovered. Wolves are not recovered. And one of the problems with delisting wolves, and this is what I've been working on, I've done some talks with the Sierra Club, I've been doing some talks with some academic and intellectual groups throughout the West, and I've been meeting with museum groups and other activists and so forth. One of the problems with delisting the wolves, according to the recommendations of U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, is that, quote, wolf management, unquote, will go full tilt into the hands of state wildlife organizations, fish and game, fish and wildlife organizations. And we have seen since Obama and Congress delisted wolves in the Northern Rockies 2 years ago, more than half of all wolves in the Northern Rockies have been exterminated. Now, starting last fall, wolf hunts started in some of the Midwestern states, and they, too, are being systematically destroyed. Now, what I find bizarre about all of these things is, why do you bring a species back from extinction in the lower 48 and then start to drive them back into extinction? It seems almost bizarre, and it's like something that serial killers do. They torture a victim, bring them back to from the brink of death, and then torture them again. This is just not right, and also it is against the will of the American people. Americans do not support the destruction of wolves. The majority of Americans support wolf recovery, and these are the things that I've been working on, and I've been in touch with lots of different groups, including some tribal groups in the Midwest, and the tribal people are very concerned in the Midwest because this borders it violates their treaty rights for lands that they allowed the Americans to settle, and also it crosses the line from destruction of biodiversity. It crosses the line into actual attacks against Native American religion, because to the tribes in the Midwest and many of the northeastern tribes as well, the wolf is a sacred being, and many, many clans trace their ancestry to clan wolves, sacred beings from a long, long time ago.
Now, Catherine, as you know, this is an incredibly complex issue. And so what I'd like to do is kind of take a half step back here and explain to folks what populations of wolves are protected by the federal government currently, which ones are being proposed for delisting, which ones are currently in the hands of the states. So I'll just do a quick review here. Certainly we have wolves, timber wolves in Minnesota, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Those wolves were delisted by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, I'd say within the past 12 to 18 months during its own process. Then, about 2 years ago, wolves in Idaho and Montana, in eastern Oregon and eastern Washington, were delisted in a separate process through a rider passed by Congress, a backdoor rider, just delisting wolves just in Idaho, Montana, eastern Oregon, eastern Washington. Then in Wyoming has had its own process delisting wolves there, and that that proposed delisting is currently under litigation. So we have that background right there. Now, taking us up to the forefront here, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Department of Interior, under the new leadership of Sally Jewell, they have issued a rule in the Federal Register, a proposed rule that would delist wolves nationwide from the Endangered Species Act. So can you tell our listeners what wolves would be affected in what parts of the country, such as, you know, the west side of California, Oregon, Washington, Utah, Colorado, and so forth?
Yes. So I'd be happy to. Before I talk about the wolves that are up for extirpation, if this recommendation is followed, let me just talk about two little groups of wolves that are supposed to be protected. In the Western Hemisphere, we have two separate species of wolves. One is called the red wolf, and they live in the southeast of the United States. They are a highly endangered species. Again, under the Endangered Species Act, American tax dollars have been spent in their recovery, and they're starting a slow, very, very slow recovery in the southeast. Those wolves will technically remain protected. There is a subspecies of gray wolf that lives along the Mogollon Rim country in the southwest in Arizona and New Mexico. They are called Mexican wolves, and sometimes people call them the Mexican red wolf. They are still technically protected and in a recovery mode, so they are supposed to be protected, although they have not been very successful in their recovery there in the south, southwest. All the rest of the wolves in the Midwest, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, they are up for extirpation and delisting. And all of our wolves in the Northern Rockies and in the West, remember, we have had a wolf return to California, OR7, also known as Journey. He's in back in Oregon right now, but he comes back and forth between California and Oregon, and since he made it, there will be others coming. All of these wolves are up for delisting, and of course, up in Alaska, wolves have no protection right now anyway. They're not considered endangered by the nice government in Alaska. Now, I'm proud to say that there is one state that is working very closely with wildlife advocates and ranchers, farmers, and others concerned the California Fish and Wildlife Commissioners are taking steps to place wolves on the state protected, state endangered species list. California is the only state that is taking these steps right now, because they know that there will be more wolves coming down from Oregon. And a lot of people would like to see a safety corridor from Idaho through Washington, Oregon, and into California for wolves and other wildlife. But, you know, we'll see how that goes depending on, you know, what happens with this recommendation by Fish and Wildlife Services. So also, many times in terms of environmental issues, the way California often leads the way in terms of environmental protection. And so if California goes and does list wolves as state protected, endangered, there may be other states with wildlife advocates who want to end the war on wildlife and will follow suit. The greatest points of resistance will be the Northern Rockies because of the people that rule the Northern Rockies. So I hope that answers the question.
It does, and it's like I said, it's incredibly complex. It's even complex for me, or you, or anyone that studies the issue. So what we're talking about here is that wolves that are trying to recover in places like Utah, Colorado, Nevada, California, the west side of Oregon, the west side of Washington, and other states throughout the United States, other states throughout this country, if this proposed delisting of wolves nationwide was to go through, unless, what we're saying here is unless the state decides to list the species, the wolf in this case, under that particular state's Endangered Species Act, there's zero to no chance that wolves will be able to recover in these states without that federal shield.
That's very true. And if people need to see the evidence, the living, or shall I say, the killing proof of this, take a look at what has been happening in the Northern Rockies for the past two or so years. Over half of the wolves of Idaho have already been killed. And unfortunately, under some of the recommendations and some of the legislation that's being proposed in the Northern Rocky states, they want to expand trapping seasons. They want to be able to kill lactating mothers and cubs in the den and so forth. And this does not even include the kind of poaching and the kind of brutality that certain individuals perpetuate against predators, including wolves. And so it doesn't bode well. If there's a nationwide delisting of gray wolves, it basically means the end of hundreds of millions of dollars by the American taxpayer. It also undermines the rule of law in this country by the Endangered Species Act. It also, in many, many states, there have been petitions after petitions after petitions, including some of the Midwest states, by residents of these states saying we do not want a wolf hunt. And also it violates treaty rights in many of these Midwestern states because the tribes are saying we do not support a wolf hunt. We will not allow it on our lands. And the states of Wisconsin, Michigan, and Minnesota, the Native Americans have a wildlife organization, their Fish and Wildlife Commission, and they said that wolf hunting is biologically not a good thing, and it's culturally harmful to Indian people. And how can we sanction the killing of our brother? And there were many other tribes and also individuals, maybe not necessarily Native Americans, that that feel the same way. There are also some issues with what constitutes numbers that are recovery numbers. What the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service considers a recovered population may not be what a scientist, a biologist, or a wolf ethologist or a tribe considers as a recovered population. So we get into a lot of numbers games going there.
Now, so Catherine, I'm glad you're, well, kind of a good segue here. So, a couple weeks ago, Sally Jewell, the Interior Secretary, newly appointed following Ken Salazar, Sally Jewell. There was a delay. There was a delay in delisting. And maybe about a 10-12 day period went by, and then the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service moved forward with this proposed nationwide delisting of wolves. But during that delay, apparently, what caused the delay, possibly, was two letters: a letter from a group of scientists or biologists, wildlife biologists, and I want to highlight, share with our audience just one of the paragraphs in this letter to the Secretary of Interior, Sally Jewell. Quote: "The gray wolf has barely begun to recover or is absent from significant portions of its former range, where substantial suitable habitat remains. The service's draft rule fails to consider science identifying extensive suitable habitat in the Pacific Northwest, California, the Southern Rocky Mountains, and the Northeast. It also fails to consider the importance of these areas to the long-term survival and recovery of wolves, or the importance of wolves to the ecosystems and of these regions." Then I just highlight a quick paragraph here from conservationists. The Obama administration, so this is a separate letter, nationwide conservation groups to the Department of Interior. "The Obama administration is giving up on gray wolf recovery before the job is done. How can they declare, quote, mission accomplished when gray wolves still face significant threats throughout their range? Wolves in the Pacific Northwest have only just begun to recover, and there are no wolf populations in Utah and Colorado. We shouldn't be closing the door on an incredible opportunity to revitalize some of America's best remaining suitable wolf habitat by bringing back these important, iconic animals." So go ahead there.
Well, it certainly has been clearly demonstrated. We are fortunate because we've been blessed with a living laboratory which shows the importance of the apex predator wolf, and that laboratory is one of our very important national parks, Yellowstone Country. I'm sad to report that as a result of the extermination of wolves and other major top predators in the Yellowstone Country, the Yellowstone area, the Yellowstone National Park, became overrun with coyotes and overrun with ungulates, and a lot of the water sources and water systems were completely denuded of plants, and therefore a lot of erosion and destruction happened in Yellowstone National Park. And in addition to wolves, almost all of the grizzly bears at one point were almost gone too, but a few survived, and they made a little bit of a recovery. But back in the 90s, under the Endangered Species Act, wolves were returned to the Yellowstone Country. And see, we have snapshots. We have actual nature snapshots where we have watched what has happened with the return of the wolf to the Yellowstone. And I'm pleased to say riparian environments, those water courses and sources and so forth, have recovered in the Yellowstone. And this means that there is better water, there's better grazing for the ungulates. There are more eagles, bald eagles and golden eagles, more bird life of all sorts. And those people, like ranchers that are not fond of coyotes, might be interested to know, with the return of the apex predator, the wolf, coyote numbers have dropped in the Yellowstone Country as well. And so there is a whole cascading effect that happens when the apex predator returns home. And also, a lot of people don't realize this, but the animal most responsible for human deaths in the United States is not the wolf or the grizzly bear or any of the predators. It's the innocent deer who walks out in front of a car and causes a car wreck. And in many countries, in many counties in our country, deer are just overrunning the areas, and they suffer too because they don't have enough to eat. If you bring back the wolf, a lot of these problems can be sorted out because because they evolve together and they will make a natural balance together. So we clearly see the benefits of wolf coming back home. And this is something that if you want to think about the future for your children, your grandchildren, and your great-grandchildren, if you want to have the survival of any remnant of nature in our country, let the Endangered Species Act stand and let the wolf come back home.
So for those of you that are joining us today here on the Wild Clearwater Country Show, we are with archaeologist, author, and activist Dr. Catherine Fair Elston with the Ravensong Group, and Catherine. So before I was coming on to the radio here, I did get a chance to go on to the Federal Register, and so the connection here between we talked about the delay in delisting, and then we just shared some snippets from the letter that was sent from a group of expert scientists as well as conservationists, both to Secretary of Interior Sally Jewell, urging her and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service not to move forward with the proposed nationwide delisting of the gray wolf. Well, after about a 10 to 12 day timeout, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service issued a news release saying, we feel that the species has recovered and we're going to move forward with this proposal. So as we speak, these two rules have been published in the Federal Register that occurred on June 13th, and now the Fish and Wildlife Service has a 90-day public comment period that will expire on September 11th, 2013. Now, so this is all is www.regulations.gov, and then, of course, it's got a number of letters and numbers and all these, you know, symbols on the computer, so I'm not going to share that with you. You can go to Wild Earth Guardians, www.wildearthguardians.org. Friends of the Clearwater at www.friendsoftheclearwater.org hopes to have an action alert on the front page of its website by the end of this week. So, okay, so the proposed rule has been published in the Federal Register, which really kicks off the public involvement process. We know it's going now to a September 11th. As of an hour ago, already 10,792 comments have been received so far on this proposed delisting. And I came across some talking points here that I thought was pretty good. Number one, delisting is premature. Wolf recovery is incomplete. In fact, only 5% of the historic range of the wolf have wolves. Only 5% of their historic range. This current proposal is driven by politics, not science. Tens of millions of taxpayer dollars have already been invested. I thought this was interesting. Eagles and alligators were not delisted until their species was recovered in most or all of their historical range. And then here's the real whopper. Here's a real eye popper. If you're on the fence, you think it seems like, you know, wolves have been on the endangered species list for 40 years. Isn't that enough? You know, and we have them in, you know, we have pockets of wolves in these states and that states. And I think that's pretty good. Well, here is a real eye-popper. A total of 1,155 wolves have been killed in 2012 and 2013 alone. Are you ready for the killing floor spreadsheet? Minnesota, 413 wolves killed. Wisconsin at 117. They haven't had a hunt yet in Michigan. Wyoming, 83. Montana, 225. Idaho, 317. So when you add that up, that's 1,155 wolves killed in a year's time. So in other words, these are states where the wolves have been delisted in previous years, and now they're under state management. So so this delisting would turn all wolves over to state management. I mean, how's that for an eye popper?
Well, we see what state quote management unquote is in the Northern Rockies and in some of these Midwestern states. And I think it's important to point out that the majority of Americans do not support killing wolves. And certainly, what kind of person goes after killing a wolf? You know, there is an animal behavior specialist who asks people that talk about, oh, I want to kill a wolf, I go out and I kill wolves, he asks them, would you do this to your dog? Because a wolf is a dog. You know, it's Canis lupus. It's a dog. And all of our dogs that we love so much came from the wolf. And also, think about the recovery of Yellowstone, the benefits that wolves bring. The next question we have to ask ourselves, why is less than 1% of the country encouraging this wolf hysteria? You know, we're supposed to be a representative democracy, which means the will of the people is supposed to prevail. The majority of Americans do not support exterminating endangered wolves, and they support keeping the Endangered Species Act intact. If things continue the way that they're going, who's going to be next on the extermination list? Because the wolves are, you know, they're taking the hits right now, and they have been for a couple of years. Now, Sally Jewell met with Salazar before Salazar left, and they were talking about taking grizzly bears off the endangered species list. I'm warning the people, this is a systematic attempt to undermine your rights as American citizens to fully benefiting from nature. It undermines and destroys your tax investment. It undermines your rights under the Constitution to live in a nation governed by the rule of law. As it goes with the wolf, it's going to go with your own rights as an American citizen. Take a look at what's been going on lately. Wake up. You know, the wolf is your indicator as well as a natural indicator. So what we need to do, we need to, you know, contact Sally Jewell. You need to send direct letters to Sally Jewell. You need to send direct letters to the White House. You need to send letters to the editor of your local papers. It doesn't have to be a long letter. Just saying this is wrong. Get involved in the comment period. Get your comments in. Get your friends to write comments. Contact your friends. Look at some of the talking points that Brett discussed. And then also include your own feeling and your own opinion why wolves and the Endangered Species Act should be protected and preserved. You know, there's a lot at risk here. And our very rights as Americans are on the chopping block here. And there's an old tribal saying, as it goes with our brother the wolf, so it goes with us. And this pertains to more than Native American people, because we're all Americans.
Now, Catherine, so speaking about just democracy and the public involvement process and corrupt politics, because they do go hand in hand, they kind of combat each other, knocking heads here. You have some information on what's going on in Michigan. Certainly, there has been legal wolf hunts in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Wyoming, Montana, Idaho. So those five states where the wolves are delisted. Michigan is part of that Great Lakes wolf delisting, but they have not had a hunt yet. There's a very strong citizen initiative going on in that state. Can you tell us a little bit about that? About that situation?
Yes, there is a very strong citizen initiative. There are people, the majority of people in Michigan, like the majority of American citizens, do not support a wolf hunt, and certainly the tribes are against it. They have made that very clear, and unfortunately, the whole referendum system by Michigan, because the people of Michigan wanted to put a referendum on the ballot this fall, asking the people of Michigan, do you want a wolf hunt, yes or no? Which, of course, isn't this a democracy, you know? And members of the legislature have been consciously and deliberately trying to undermine and prevent that referendum from even happening. So there are some legal maneuvers going on, and we'll see what happens there. And then one thing I do want to also mention, the tribes in the Northwest are not desperately poor. Many of them in the Midwest have a certain amount of wealth, they have treaty rights, and they have casinos. they have already hired attorneys, and they will proceed with legal suits against Michigan if things continue going the way that they are. It amazes me that politicians that are supposed to be elected by the people and are supposed to represent the people seem, in the Wolf issue at least, and perhaps in other things too, seem to consistently undermine the will of the people and undermine what they are supposed to be elected to do. It's a mystery to me. And again, you know, we need to sound the clarion call. Now, I know that with this U.S. Fish and Wildlife proposal for delisting, the Sierra Club and the Center for Biological Diversity are getting their lawsuits ready, should it happen. And I encourage everyone to support in any way that they possibly can the defense of wolves and these organizations, including Friends of the Clearwater, who are deeply involved in trying to protect the wolves, protect the Endangered Species Act, and protect your rights as an American. One of the things that makes Americans different and makes our country different from so many other countries in the world is our heritage of wilderness and our heritage of wild frontiers. You know, part of wildness and part of wilderness is part of what makes us Americans. Why should we allow less than 1% of a vested interest to destroy that which makes us uniquely American? So I'd say, you know, stand up. Stand up for your rights. You know, the wolf is part of it.
Now, for those of you that are just joining us today here on the Wild Clearwater Country Show, we're joined by author, archaeologist, and activist Dr. Catherine Fair Elson of the group Raven Song Group. Of course, Catherine, you—I always like to plug that you are an alumni of Washington State University.
And, yes, I am.
Go Cougars! Go Cougars! I mean, we'll have a whole separate show on Cougar football. and that big circus, but hey, so speaking of for the people, by the people, of the people, there are a few honest politicians out there, and one of them is Representative Raul Grijalva out of Arizona. You wanted to say something about Representative Raul Grijalva. He is the ranking member of the House Committee on Natural Resources, and he's been doing a lot of important work to make sure that the laws like the Endangered Species Act are not weakened.
Yes, and I think that we should, you know, continue supporting his efforts. He also, you know, speaks out regularly for environmental protection. Speaks up for Clean Air, Clean Water Act, which, by the way, are also under attack by some of these same interests seeking to destroy the Endangered Species Act. The whole country is a lot cleaner than it was 40 years ago as a result of legislation that was passed, you know, back in the 60s. And so we really want to encourage people to send letters of support or phone calls to Pelosi to continue support for Representative Paul Grijalva. And so if you want to have someone going to bat for your interests in environmental protection, in endangered species protection, in clean air, clean water, and even in Native American indigenous rights and treaty rights, you know, support him.
Well, that's right. Right here in some of my notes is a letter to the Honorable Nancy Pelosi. The undersigned organizations representing X amount of citizens are writing to show the broad-based support for Representative Raul Grijalva as the next ranking member of the House Committee on Endangered Species. I'm sorry, as the next ranking member of the House Committee on Natural Resources.
Yeah, right. For
the past 2.5 years, the House Republicans have led an all-out attack on the nation's bedrock environmental protection statutes, including the Endangered Species Act and National Policy Act, NEPA. And so this letter goes on to say that they want to see Raul Grijalva be the next ranking member of the House Committee on Natural Resources, so that Republicans and just this House committee can kind of just just chip away, hammer away at making these public land laws like the Endangered Species Act a lot worse off than they were intended to be. So that's Representative Raul Grijalva. So we're really looking at that. There's a number of, there's all these different battles going on, whether it's within the House, whether it's within the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Secretary of Interior, whether it's within individual states. And it all comes back to this proposed delisting of the gray wolf nationwide from the Endangered Species Act and turning 40 years of wolf recovery and tens of millions of dollars of American taxpayer investment all over to state management, which, oh, by the way, has killed almost these state, quote, managers are responsible for over 1,200 wolves killed in just a year alone. And that's not counting, of course, the wolves that have been killed due to, quote, livestock depredations, or the wolves that are killed and you got a shoot, shovel, shut up policy, poaching. And I mean, we're getting to the point here in the Northern Rockies where more wolves have been killed than actually are alive on the ground today.
That's very true, and it's very tragic. And again, in addition to undermining the natural balance and any attempt of restoration of natural balance, it also is a waste of taxpayers' money, you know, shooting, trapping, killing wolves and anything else that these people, this less than 1%, seeks to destroy. It undermines our rights as American citizens, and why should we allow an investment, a 40-year investment? I mean, if you just want to look at it, take away compassion, take away natural balance, take away decency. If you just want to look at it in terms of dollars and cents, why should we allow less than 1% to destroy our investment? And it's an investment in the future for your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and for the seven generations to come. Why should we permit this? I'm not going to permit it. I'm going to fight it. And I hope everyone else works together to try and end this war on the Endangered Species Act, end this war on wolves, end this war on wildlife. It's obscene, and it's wasteful.
Now, Catherine, certainly I talked about, you know, how you're a cougar here, an alumni of Washington State University. I know you've lived all throughout the West, the Southwest, and Northern Rockies. Now I know you're in California and doing important work there. Just tell us again a little bit more about where things are at in the state of California with regard to listing the wolf, in this case, one wolf, and of course, all future wolves that may come under a state Endangered Species Act. Do we have a timeline there of when a decision may be made with regard to wolves getting protection under the state Endangered Species Act, regardless of this national delisting proposal?
Yes. This has been in progress for a while. The California Fish and Wildlife Commission entertained the idea about a little over a year ago as to whether or not the wolf should be protected under state and endangered species law shortly after Journey, OR7, came down from Oregon into Northern California. All the wolves, like all the grizzly bears, were extirpated in California. Journey created a sensation when he came back, about 18 months ago, when he showed up crossing the line from Oregon into Northern California. He achieved instant celebrity rock star wolf status. The entire world is fascinated by the fact that a wolf has returned to California. It made international headlines. It even pushed that wolf Arnold Schwarzenegger out of the limelight. You know, people were saying, there's a wolf in California, and it's not Arnold, it's OR7. And so this, you know, made the Fish and Wildlife Commissioners have to focus and make some considerations. What are they going to do? Now, OR7, when he came into California, he was, you know, protected under the federal Endangered Species Act. But the California people, the residents of California, started asking their Fish and Game Commissioners to consider state protection, because nobody knows what's going to happen with federal protection. And so the Fish and Game Commissioners have held hearings throughout California, getting feedback from people, and there have been, you know, there's been consideration of pros and cons, and I have been lobbying in Sacramento, and I went to a major meeting last October where all of these things were discussed and considered, and at the conclusion of the meeting was to decide, are we going to take the next step forward toward further research and see whether or not we're going to put wolves under state ESA protection? And at the conclusion of the meeting, the Fish and Wildlife Commissioners decided, yes, they are taking the next step forward. They're researching. They're looking into, you know, what it's going to take and what it means. And this coming fall, a decision is going to be made as to whether or not to do it. But it seems that slowly protection under state ESA is winding its way through the halls of Sacramento. And, of course, Journey could give us a big boost if he'd just come back and bring a mate.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it takes two to tango, regardless of just about any species you are. And so, well, that's a really interesting situation that, of course, people all across America are watching. And so, just to circle back here, as we're running out of time, we've got the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service under the, quote, leadership, end quote, of Secretary Interior Sally Jewell, has issued a rule in the Federal Register that proposes to delist wolves nationwide from the federal protection under the Endangered Species Act, turning wolf management over to the states. And that clock has started ticking. We're about a week into it. And if you go on www.regulations.gov, and then you can type in, probably in the search bar, something like wolf delisting, it'll actually take you to the actual comment page. Like I said, almost 10,800 comments have been received so far, just a week into it. And so we've got 90 days. The clock is ticking. Catherine, what are you going to be focusing on the next couple months? And I think we should maybe try and have you on back on the show here right before September 11th.
That sounds great. And basically, what I'm going to be focusing on is continuing with the outreach and the education. I certainly will be making my comments. And I also intend to prepare several letters and editorials to papers throughout the West, and also over in the Northeast and around Washington, D.C., so that we can continue putting pressure on. I'm organizing. There are several different wolf sanctuaries and wolf supporters all up and down the West, and several in California. I'm going to be getting some of their supporters to get involved in the comment period and to write. Certainly continue supporting Sierra Club, Friends of the Clearwater, all of the wildlife groups who are joining together to try and stop an even worse catastrophe from happening if the wolf is delisted. And education, writing, lobbying, and organizing. That's going to be my major focus for the next couple of months.
Well, Catherine, It's hard to believe that about 55 minutes went off the clock since you called in here. We're running out of time. I can't thank you enough for taking time out of your busy schedule for being a guest here on the Wild Clearwater Country Show. We greatly appreciate, of course, all your efforts in the past and all your current and future efforts. And whatever you do, come back on the Palouse and see us, and let's grab a beer and a sandwich, huh?
Well, I'm certainly looking forward to that, and I just want to say thank you, Brett, and everyone out there. These are your rights, and stand up for them, because as I learned a long time ago at Washington State University from my mentor, an old archaeologist, Henry Irwin, if you don't stand up for yourself and keep an eye on your back, there's always someone waiting to take your rights away from you. And, you know, we see that, and you have to be vigilant, and you have to be brave, and you have to stand up for what is right. And science is part of this equation, but let us not forget compassion and our wilderness heritage. So let's stand up, let's stand together, let's end the war on wolves, let's end the war on wildlife. And again, thank you so much for giving me time to be on the show. Thanks.
Catherine, we'll see you back on the Palouse, and you take very good care of yourself.
And you too, and everyone else. Thank you.
All right, there we go. Dr. Catherine Fair Elson with the group Ravensong. Catherine, of course, is the author of Ravensong, A Natural and Fabulous History of Ravens and Crows, as well as the author of Wolfsong, A Natural and Fabulous History of Wolves. Those books, of course, are part of the Penguin book series, and great to have Catherine on the show here, and certainly thank you. Hopefully, you, our listener, got a lot out of today's show. www.friendsoftheclearwater.org. We hope to have an action alert on our website, front page of our website, within the next couple days, if not first thing next week, which will outline all the information that you need to consider using. In submitting a comment on this proposed nationwide delisting of the gray wolf from the endangered species list, wolves only occupy 5% of their historic range. And of course, we're not living, you know, of course, there's part of that range that is no longer inhabitable. No one's going to, you know, make believe that that's not the case. But all in all, when despite all the rhetoric, there's still lots of unoccupied habitat out there, and there's lots of biologists feel that we're not even close right now to fulfilling the biological carrying capacity of wolves on the landscape. And so this is really, this is for all the marbles, as Catherine was saying. This is incredibly important, and so we'll continue to talk about this issue here on the Wild Clearwater Country Show, and keep you updated. Now, hey, let's take a look at the weather here, because we're wrapping up. Tonight, we're looking about 48 degrees with 100% chance of rain. Tomorrow, showers with a cloudy and a high near 60. So rain and clouds, high near 60 tomorrow. Chance of precip is 60%. Thursday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms, cloudy with low around 42. Chance of precip on Thursday night's 50%. Friday, mostly cloudy with a high near 59. Friday night, another 50% chance of showers, mostly cloudy with low around 43, and then the weekend, partly sunny with a high near 67 on Saturday, and then partly sunny with a high near 73 on Sunday. Again, want to thank Dr. Catherine Fair Elson for being a guest here on the Wild Clearwater Country Show, and thank you for listening to KRFP Moscow.
Programming on KRFP is made possible in part by support from KRFP members and
Glassphemy, a maker of hand-blown glass products next to Sam Dial on Kamiokan Street in downtown Pullman. You can find Glassphemy on Facebook or by calling 509-332-1971.
You are listening to KRFP. Moscow 92.5 FM.
Welcome to Between the Lines, presenting news and analysis of critical issues affecting our region, the nation, and the world. This week we present Phyllis Bennis of the Institute for Policy Studies, who warns that President Obama's decision to arm Syrian rebel groups will inevitably lead to a tragic escalation of that nation's brutal civil war. Author and activist Norman Solomon, who examines the current public debate on Edward Snowden's release of details on the U.S. government's secret dragnet surveillance of phone and internet communications. And Phil Smith of the United Mine Workers Union, who discusses the